Let's take stock.
Let's all take a step back.
1 year ago.
Constantly looking backwards.
It's a well-worn path.
We will chart a new course.
Including energy and healthcare and agriculture and IT.
It's going to be up to you.
Depending on what the results are could depend on what happens next.
I believed then and I believe now.
We begin a series of regular conversations between now and the political conventions, taking stock of the past 4 years and looking ahead to the next 12 months. Many people in Washington and around the country are doing just that.
At no time in history have we witnessed change in health policy as transformative as what we are experiencing now. I would argue that it goes beyond the creation of Medicare and Medicaid in 1965. It goes beyond the collective accumulation of policy achievements over the course of our country's history.
That's former Democratic Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle speaking glowingly about the Obama Health Care Reform Act. But a moment of considerable hope has become a moment of considerable worry about whether the U.S. Supreme Court will strike all or much of the law when it renders its decision, perhaps sometime this month. Daschle shares those concerns, and he sat down with me over the weekend to speak about the transformation in government in his lifetime. The days of Senate Majority Leader Lyndon Johnson, when LBJ was the most powerful man in Washington except for the president, those days are long gone. The division and rancor in the Senate, he says, has grown increasingly since he left office in 2004, and especially in the past 4 years. The former South Dakota Senator Tom Daschle says that regarding the Affordable Care Act, the Supreme Court's reputation is now on the line, as well as America's healthcare system.
Well, what is at stake really is the basic infrastructure for healthcare in America as we go forward. The infrastructure involving access, infrastructure revolving the way we pay for care, and certainly the level of quality that we have today. It's all on the line. It's all on the table, in part through the Supreme Court decision.
Some people would say, no, it's not. The administration overreached, and it's just going to be back to the drawing board again. That's what happened in 93 with Bill Clinton under different circumstances, didn't involve the court. But it's, we've been here before. We're gonna be here again.
Well, we will be here again and again and again. This is an unfinished product, regardless of what the court decides. There's a lot of work to do. But basically, if the court decides that the Congress doesn't have the constitutional authority to require that people have health insurance, we are really back to square one, because that's really at the heart of the way we create our insurance mechanisms in the country today. That's first and foremost. But beyond that, it really puts in complete disarray all of the creation of policy involving access, cost, and quality going forward.
The New York Times published a poll looking at the credibility of the Supreme Court over the last 25 years, and there was a suspicion in the poll findings, of course not definitive, that the credibility of the court has declined because there's a growing sense among Americans that the court is more involved than ever before in the actual political process. Because of the 2012 election and the fact that the Affordable Care Act is a part of the campaign right now, does this decision make the court vulnerable to that charge of political favoritism, regardless of how they turn out?
No question. I think everybody really shares a concern about the degree to which the court shows its judicial independence. The influence ideologically and politically couldn't be more clear. I think it all began with Bush v. Gore, but it was represented recently again with the Super PAC decision in Citizens United. There have been a number of decisions that clearly show the ideological chasm that exists today, and the predictability of the court is very concerning.
So when you hear discussions in the media about where's Kennedy going to rule, where's Justice Kennedy going to rule, what does Justice Roberts think, you see a degradation of the court's identity, in that maybe in your time in the Senate there was more intellectual vigor among all of the justices.
Well, everything looks a little more rose-colored, I suppose, in retrospect. But I think there is a real concern in this country today about the polarization that exists almost pervasively throughout all sectors of government, the executive branch, the legislative, as well as the judicial branch. But of all of those, the one that most concerns me is the polarization in the judicial branch, the ideological underscoring of virtually every one of these decisions, and where that takes us in the future.
Do you think that there's a clock ticking as far as the American people are concerned? If you look at some of the poll numbers on credibility of government institutions in Washington, on Capitol Hill, even the White House, that there's a certain disillusionment present today that hasn't been around before?
Oh, I think we go in cycles, John. I don't know that there's ever a time when the American people have completely felt that government was ever the solution. But I think that the American people themselves, to a certain extent, have to take some of the blame for where we are today. You ask the American people, do you want your member of Congress to stand their ground and not compromise, or to find common ground and to look across the aisle? And it's about 50-50. It's evenly divided. The American people are themselves polarized, themselves very fractured with regard to how they want this country to be governed and what vision they have for our country's future. So the Congress is really a reflection of the American people in many respects, and that plays itself out every day on the floor of the House and Senate.
In Robert Caro's book about Lyndon Johnson, he describes the majority leader of the Senate as having extraordinary power in Washington, a power that perhaps wasn't understood outside of Washington, but was absolutely understood inside of Washington. Thinking back to your time as majority leader, do you miss the power, or are you just happy to be out of the way?
Maybe all of the above. Mm-hmm. I think that, right after Lyndon Johnson left the Senate, there was a revolution. He tried to be both the leader and vice president simultaneously, and he got rolled. And therein began the revolution that really took a lot of power away. And it was in the name of reform that they dispersed power, and they gave the caucus themselves a lot more power than they've ever had before. That has continued to this day. It's a different job than it was when Lyndon Johnson was president. But there's still a lot of power, arguably one of the most powerful positions in Washington. Do you miss it? Of course you miss it. It's an extraordinary privilege and an incredibly fulfilling experience to have that power. But along with it comes a lot of frustration. And so you've got to balance it out. I'm very honored to have had the power I had, and I miss it. But there's a lot of things about politics and about political life in general that I don't miss today.
That's former South Dakota Senator Tom Daschle taking stock of the last four Obama years and sharing his concerns about the next 12 months. Take stock with us. Let us know your assessment of the past 4 years and your hopes for the next one at 877-8MY-TICKET.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.